Hey, welcome back to the Shift with Beth podcast. I'm your host, Beth Shield, and I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. I met today's guest at a retreat in Sedona back in February, and honestly, we clicked so fast. I felt like the universe just put us together. There's so many synchronicities, and I knew I wanted to bring her on the podcast. And I'm talking to Nicole Miranda. She's actually Miss Hawaii, a crown and everything. But what I love most about her story, it's not about the pageant, you're going to hear about that, but it's everything underneath it and the life that she's living now and where she's at now and where she's been. She had this whole corporate sales career, high pressure, the grind, and one trip to Hawaii completely cracked her open. So she left it all, moved, built a life around alignment instead of burnout. And she really talks about burnout here. And I think it's going to resonate with so many. We talked for so long, I had to split this into two parts, which is amazing because her story is so incredible. We didn't want to leave anything out. So here we go. This is part one. Let's get into it. Welcome back to the podcast and welcome to the show, Nicole. I am so excited to have you on the show today and for everybody listening to just feel your energy. I can already feel it myself.
Aloha. Thank you so much for having me.
So you guys, you have to know, Nicole and I met in February, in Sedona on a retreat that we both randomly attended, right? So I didn't know anyone that was going to the retreat. Did you?
I didn't know anybody either.
So the first night we are kind of sitting, I think we were sitting next to each other and we figured out that like dinner wasn't going to be provided that night. And so I had a car and first you were like, do you want to go to dinner? And I was like, actually I need to get some groceries. You're like, can I come? I don't have a car. And I just remember getting in the car and talking with you. And it was just like so much alignment and synchronicities and excitement and chatter. And like, it was almost like we couldn't keep up with each other.
Yeah. And we didn't have enough time to really talk that whole trip. So
no, we didn't. But there was definitely a connection and alignment, like something familiar with your soul. And we've stayed in touch on Instagram. And I just think you've come to my energy multiple times to ask you to be on the show. And so I'm so glad I reached out and we're here. And so I would love for you to just share like a little bit of your story, kind of whatever you want to share. And I just want to listen and let everybody listen to this.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. So I guess where to begin? Originally, I grew up on the East Coast of the U.S. in Long Island. So my whole life was very opposite of where I'm at now. So I'll kind of build you up to how I grew up, what I did in my adult life, and where I'm at now in the transition. I grew up on Long Island where everything, you know, is very fast-paced, obviously. I was very type A. I was very by the book. I was very structured. I was a straight A student. I was an athlete. I was very, very hard on myself the way most Northeasterners are, right? Mm-hmm. And I grew up playing sports. So I was always like a little bit of a tomboy. And then I spent my whole childhood in Long Island and I moved to Tampa, Florida when I was 18 and I went to college there. So I ran cross country in college. I graduated with honors. Again, all my life, I was kind of just going through what you're supposed to do, doing things right, doing things by the book, doing what school told me, doing what my parents told me, and, you know, following that path. So I graduated from University of Tampa. I was cross country runner. That was a big part of my life too. And after college, I started working in all male-dominated industries. So I worked for a defense contractor. I worked for automotive. I sold advertising to car dealerships for 8 years. That was the bulk of my adult career, which if you know anything about automotive world, it's intense.
Nope.
High pressure. It's high pressure. I'm dealing with a lot of grimy older men. Would be the best. The nicest way I could probably describe it. And that's how I got started in sales, like in my mid-20s. I worked in tech. I worked in finance. So everything I did was always very much in my like masculine sun energy, right? Like
pushing, achieving.
Exactly.
Was it hard for you to go from like athlete, like sports your whole life, college, all, and then to stop that?
I actually didn't stop. I continued long distance running. Really competitively up until about age 30.
Okay.
I ran marathons and triathlons, and I was always doing that. It started to taper off a little as I got in my really busy sales job. Once I got in that automotive world, I was on the road. I was working 70 hours a week. You know what I mean? I covered all of Florida and Georgia for my job. So I was selling like a marketing product to car dealerships. So picture selling to a salesperson, like the best salespeople. So you need to learn, just so much about psychology and selling in order to do that job, on top of having a really thick skin because you're getting rejected all the time. I worked fully remote and then I went to my clients. And again, they're not the easiest people to deal with. Most of people have bought a car know that like salespeople are they're on it. And the general managers are the ones that I'm selling to help them market their programs, right? And they have so many things they're doing. So it's a very, very, very fast-paced, intense, high-pressure sales environment with a quota that keeps growing. Like basically every month it starts over. And I lived in this like rat race and this vicious cycle of work hard and then like you go right back at it again. And there's
And
never,
you were training for races
I
throughout that
was
whole
training for
time.
races that whole time.
Girl,
Not
I'm
to mention,
exhausted just hearing about this.
that's just scratching the surface. Not to mention that I was a crazy socialite at that time. I'm not to say I'm not social now, but I spend a lot of time going inward. I was booked every second of every weekend, like weddings, bachelorette parties, going out. I was used to be a huge drinker. I don't know if we've talked. I used to be a huge party girl. I don't drink anymore. I was working all week, out all weekend, racing, like racing or partying, and then back. Like there was not ever a spare second of stillness or silence in my life until my 30s. I do. I feel exhausted even talking about
Yeah, right. I'm just like, wow. So, do you feel like, I mean, of course, you're going to share more of what happened next, but like you were escaping something, like a
Yeah.
feeling
I mean,
something.
I didn't know that at the time, but I for sure
Right.
didn't let my mind. I think the biggest thing for me was that I was not spiritual or religious at all. Most of my adult life, I would say I was atheist slash agnostic, and not believing in anything more or a higher power, and just thinking this was it. After a while, I started to burn out in the sales career and the way I was living my life. And like I was literally running, like I ran every day, or I was playing, like I was always treating my body like it was a machine, really. And once I started to burn out, and once I got to a phase where I was making all this money, I had all these friends. I had a great boyfriend. Like on paper, I had everything that you would think is like, the American dream, as they say. And I started to realize that I was so burnt out. I wasn't taking care of myself. And I basically, around age 30, like hit a wall where I experienced my first period of like extreme anxiety, burnout, and depression. And I had never, ever had any mental health issues. I thrived off of the way everything I said for me that kept me going. It kept me fueled until I couldn't handle the pressure anymore.
Oh, wow. So what did something happen in your life that took you down like that? Was there anything specific that you can think of?
There was not really necessarily like one particular moment. I do remember the first time there was really a big shift. But it happened at a time that I should have been really comfortable. So it was, I think, this culmination of my whole life always living under pressure. Like I lived very tense. I always felt tense. I felt tight. I mean, I had six-pack abs, not just because I worked out, because I lived with
Because
like,
you were fight or flight.
yes, I was constantly in survival mode. And I didn't know this until, and we'll talk about it as I've gotten on this spiritual journey and unlearned and relearned a lot in my life the last few years, but I was living constantly in fight or flight, constantly in survival mode, constantly people pleasing. And I did not feel worthy unless I was performing and producing. That was the only thing I knew. That's how I was wired. That's how the people around me were. That's how I was taught to live. And there wasn't really the pressure of like my family or anything. It was just, I always had this, overdrive. I now learned I've had an overdrive in my third chakra most of my life, like the ambition, the, just doing
Yes.
more and more and more. And I never said no, and I wanted everybody to like me. And I didn't realize at the time there was probably a big void that I was trying to fill, a lack of self-worth and self-love, right? And it was, how busy can I keep? I have to keep everybody happy. I was the friend that everybody like always knew. Nicole was always there. So I was, the year I turned 30, I think it was really this. It was, I was in this high pressure, thriving sales job. I'd been doing it for 2 years. I was crushing it, but I started to feel like, okay, I don't like my clients. They're assholes to me, quite pardon my French, but
Free to cuss here.
I'm burning my body out. I was drinking so much on the weekends in excess that like I'd have horrible hangovers, and they start, you get older, it really starts to hit. And I started feeling mentally and physically like crap and just constantly anxious. And the year that I turned 30, I attended 10 weddings and I was in five of them. So this was on top of like my crazy work schedule. I was traveling, all over the US, the bachelorette parties. And
Oh my
yes, that's fun,
gosh.
but like when you have to be there on top of your traveling for work, there was no rest ever. Besides the fact, let me backtrack for a second. I started having like really, I struggled with sleep because I couldn't turn my mind off. And that was something that got increasingly worse over my adult life. But specifically around age 30, when all of this, like there was just all this, I felt like external pressure, I started having really bad insomnia to the point where I had tried every over-the-counter sleeping pill. And it, for like, I did one, then I went to a higher level to the point where none of it was working anymore. And I literally wasn't sleeping. So then I'd be up all night. I'd have to get up early and grind. And I was so exhausted. I went and got on, I don't even know if we've talked about this or not before, but I went and got on prescription sleeping
We
pills.
did because I've
Okay.
had similar things in the
Yeah.
past.
Okay. So then I got on Ambien to sleep and I started down this slippery slope of being on prescription sleeping pills. And that was the only thing that allowed me to sleep and turn off my brain. But as you and I both know, that's not natural. And that started an 8 year period of me taking Ambien every single night to sleep when technically the max dose is taking it for 6 weeks. And I, needless to say, that does things to your brain chemistry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. And no wonder you couldn't sleep.
Yeah, I would have nightmares about losing sales deal. Like I always had all the, like I just had to be the best. That's how I lived my life. If I wasn't the best, I was the worst. That is actually how I treated my everything. I don't know why. I just had this overly competitive drive.
Where do you think you learned that?
I think honestly, a lot of it is just inherently in me. I think that was like one of the lessons that my soul chose. Like there was
Right. Yeah. What one of your parents wasn't like that, or
No, I think some of it stems from my mom's a very anxious person, and I think I kind of tiptoed around and like to be like the good child. And it wasn't really out of everything that she did and taught me was totally out of love. But I think a lot of fears that she had from the outside world got instilled into me. And it's kind of something I carried about like being a performer and pleasing everybody else.
Right, making sure that you're doing everything right so that you don't cause any more anxiety for her.
Exactly.
Okay, sorry. This is where I get like I want to get into the past and your inner child. I'm like, "Okay, Beth, rein it back here. Let's keep going with the story." So you find yourself addicted basically to sleeping pills.
I'm totally addicted to the sleeping pills. About 8 months after I first took the sleeping pills, this is very interesting. This is when I had my first period that I call kind of like depersonalization or depression. I was out like at dinner with my boyfriend at the time, who was great to me, and like two or three other couples who were like my best friends. So very comfortable environment on like a Friday or Saturday night where I could be nothing but myself, which is why it's weird that this is when it happened, but maybe it was just this pile up of things my whole life that I could no longer energetically, mentally, spiritually hold, right? And I had this moment where We were just out having a good time. I maybe had like a drink or two, nothing crazy. I remember feeling like I almost like had a panic attack out of nowhere, just sitting there talking. And I was just like, where am I? What's going on? I don't want to be here. And what I now think, now that I know a lot more about the soul and spirituality, what I looking back on it, what I think what happened was like my soul left my body. Like I was not treating myself with care. Like, yes, I was running and working out, but like in excess. I was doing everything in extreme. I was drinking. I wasn't eat I always looked fit, so always people thought I was healthy, but I was not eating well. I was eating McDonald's if I had time to get, you know, some chicken nuggets on the road. Like my body was just running off adrenaline most of this time.
Yeah.
So I think what happened is my soul left my body and was like, nope. We can't do this anymore. Like, you know, we're not taking care of ourselves. This is unhealthy. And I kind of remember almost like being in the ceiling and looking down on myself, just not know, like almost feeling lost. That's really
And
the best.
that feels so scary.
It was very scary. And I can still remember that moment so vividly. And that was almost 8, 9, 10 years ago. You know, like I can specifically remember where I was sitting, what I was wearing, and grabbing one of my best friends and running to the bathroom, being like, something's wrong. And I just,
So I'm curious, like as you say this, is there any activation in your body?
I feel even as I'm explaining this story of my intense life, I can feel the tension
Yeah,
in my chest when
so
I
I
talk
just
about it.
letting
Yeah.
you slow down for a minute. I can't help it, everybody. I want to help her with this. Yeah, just being with it because yeah, I can tell how traumatic that was for you, and I just wanted to validate that for you. And it also makes sense why you were actually safe with people that loved you, because you kind of had that judgment of like, I don't know why I did, like I was within the safe environment, like all, like it could just be myself, and it's like because you were safe, it's almost as if your body knew that they were going to take care of you in that moment.
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way. It was just, you know, there's so much to peel back the layers about.
Oh, so many peel back, so many layers. Yes. So yeah. Wow. I can feel the depth of that experience for you.
Yeah, and leading up to that moment, what I will say is when I was on the road for my sales meetings, I was at this phase where I was so over the career I was doing, and I had like been making so much more money in this position now for the first time. I had all this freedom and flexibility to like navigate my own schedule. But because of that, I was working in overdrive, and I started to get to this point where I was like 2, 3 years into the job, and I felt very stuck in what I was doing. I remember having this constant feeling of like, I'm stuck doing this for the rest of my life because this is the only skill that I have, that I have all these connections now. This is the only thing that will pay me this much. I had been already looking for potentially doing other jobs, and I would look all night before I'd go to bed with my anxiety, be like, I don't want to do these meetings in the morning. I'd look up other sales jobs, and nothing was even going to pay me like half of what I was making, and it didn't even feel more exciting. So I would spend like really go in these cycles where I'd be on LinkedIn or Indeed applying for jobs, and then I'm like, this doesn't even excite me. Why am I going to go to something more rigid and take a pay cut? Like, I have a certain standard of living at this point. So I started listening to a lot of self-help books around this time too. Self-help, how can you retire early? How get 4-hour work week? I was trying to do everything to escape. Like my whole career, I was looking forward to the weekends, basically. I was just looking forward to partying with my friends and escaping the career. Even though I was good at it, I didn't really enjoy it other than the paychecks that I was getting, you know? And the competitive side of me thrived a little off of that, but eventually it's just, it leads to burnout, you know?
So, wow, I could feel this too. This like, so you're basically surviving through having the sleeping pills, the paycheck, and making it through the weekends, but you're still
Right.
not nourishing your body, taking care of your body. Then this happens with your boyfriend
Yeah.
at the time, your friends.
Yeah.
So what did you do after that?
I told them I had to go home, and like I stayed out for a little, but I just something just there was literally a shift in that moment that like I couldn't keep going on this path. So I left, and I remember just telling my boyfriend that night, like, I just don't feel right. Like something, I don't know what's wrong with me, but something is wrong with me. Like something is off. And I called my dad, who I've always like had a close relationship with and can talk about business. And I called him the next day and was like, I'm not okay. I don't know what's wrong with me, but like, I need to see a therapist. Like some like and I didn't understand it because I had always been up until this point like, yeah, I had some anxiety, but I never nothing diagnosed, right? Like it was just kind of, yeah, I put a lot of pressure. I didn't realize how maybe abnormal this was, or maybe it's normal these days, but it's also not, that's not how we should probably be living, right? To me, that was just what everybody around me was doing. That's how I lived, and that's what it was. I didn't know another way. It wasn't until 2 years ago when I got yoga teacher certified that I knew I could have compassion for myself and not push myself beyond my, literally 2 years ago.
And how old are you now?
I'm 39.
39. So 2 years ago, is this like kind of when everything changed for you?
Probably in, I would say in the last 2 to 4 years has been the big shifts. Last year and a half when I had the spiritual awakening, but Hawaii 4 years ago is what really started.
Okay, yeah, so start, can you go
Yeah.
there? So you talked to your dad, you got into therapy.
I got into therapy. I felt like going to therapy actually made it worse. I tried all different therapists and I was like, I am just talking about problems. Like it just made me feel like I was affirming. I don't believe in traditional talk therapy personally. I tried tons of them. It's just confirming the negative, right? And they would be like, oh, let's go back to your childhood. Do you have trauma? And I will say, I don't have big trauma in this lifetime, as in the sense of like, and then the therapy would almost make me feel worse because I was like, no, I had a great upbringing. I have great parents that took care. Like, I have no reason to feel like this. I have a great life, but nothing feels right. Like just, I knew something was off, but no one could really, I don't know. I just felt like I was confirming these problems. And then they were trying to get to the root of, not really trying to get to the root. It was more like, you know, the talking through younger years. And I'm like, I've never been in any like abuse cases or sexual, like when I think of like trauma, I think of stuff like that or like a rough upbringing. I didn't have that. So then that led me to feeling guilty for feeling bad. And I'm like, there's starving children in Africa. And here I am. Woe is me. I have this great job and I make all this money and everything's perfect, but I feel like shit. And, but then I beat myself up for feeling that. Like it was just,
Like
you
you
know, this.
shouldn't feel that way because you made money and you had parents that loved you and the house and all the things. Yeah. So we got to have a whole nother conversation about this another time.
So that was kind of the path I went down. Anyway, basically from age 30 till like now, this is really crazy. Cyclically, every 2 years, four times, I faced like an extreme dark night of the soul like this. I would go to therapy. I actually went and took time off from work. I called my boss right away. I knew something was wrong. I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but like, I went from like extreme anxiety after that point within a month to like almost being bedridden. Like, not because I had any physical ailment that I knew of, but I literally was so depressed and my brain was like shut down. And I like literally couldn't get myself out of bed for a few months. Like, it's crazy to like,
That's totally normal too, though, because you lived in fight or flight all those years. Then when you stop that pattern, it's like your body, it needs to
shut down.
recover. It
Yeah.
shuts down, but it's a recalibrating,
And the
is what it
nice thing
sounds
was,
like.
yeah, my boss at the time, since I was such a high performer and always did what I said I was going to do, he was like, okay, if Nicole's calling and asking for this, like something's up, right? And he gave me 3 months off from my job, and just told me to turn off. And I remember all my coworkers like being like, what's going on with Nicole, right? Because I just disappeared. And I'm sure they thought like I was on my little joy vacation in Florida because my company was based out of Louisville at the time. And I like people don't realize that I literally couldn't function. Like I went from this energy I have to like I could barely walk down the street to get myself to yoga or therapy like once a day. And for me, I was like, wow, I've heard people talk about depression and mental health. And I was like, this is what they mean. Like you can't get your mind out of it. Like you are just trudging through the mud, you know?
Did you have support through that?
I mean, yeah, I had my family and my friends and therapists that I was talking to, But I felt so not here, not there, like in my body. I felt like there was no reason to go on living. Like I just felt like I've achieved everything I wanted in my life. I've traveled the world. I kind of was in this weird existential crisis where I was like, what is the point of all of this?
And those are scary thoughts to have.
That was a question that I never, because of all of this that I told you about, keeping so busy, I was terrified of that question and I would not let it ever come into my mind. I remember people literally saying to me, like, where do we come from? Where do we go? Kind of trying to talk about more esoteric topics of the human. And I was so scared of that that I would just go on my phone, go on Facebook, plan it out. Like I could not let myself think about it because I didn't have time to think about the deeper meaning of life. My life didn't allow for that space.
Yeah, I haven't heard this part of your story.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through a major existential crisis on and off for about 8 years, really. Like, I mean, yeah, it was rough. So I took those 3 months off. I recovered. I can't really say much helped me other than just literally laying around doing nothing. And I eventually, like, magically sort of started to get a little bit better. And after like this 3 month period of taking off work, my boss and I had a check-in and I was like, yeah, I'm ready to go back. And essentially nothing changed. I went like within like a month of me starting, I was back to full speed. I got back to normal. I was back to kind of high vibe, but high stress, right? And I went right back into it. And I did this for, again, a year and a half. And then 2 years later, same time. There is something about the, I think it had to do with, it would always be like around the fall leading into Christmas. That's our busiest time for sales. So I'd be like, thrive, 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 go, 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 no time to myself. And then the holidays would hit and it would go dark. And then January was a really slow month. So all of a sudden, I'd have all this time to think. I would
Which you
see.
do not like,
Yes, I did not
right?
like me. It's a dangerous thing for a Gemini who's an overthinker. And yeah. And then I would see all of my friends like on the holidays on social media with their husband and their kids. And like, yes, I had a boyfriend at that time, but it wasn't really on the path to marriage. And I did, that was a big part of it. I think there was a societal pressure of like, you're 30, why aren't you married yet? I actually, my clients said that to me regularly. Like I would be in meetings where they'd be like, oh, what's wrong with you? You seem great, but why are you 30 and not married? And like, I started to question what is wrong with me? Everybody else around me is getting married, but I'm like, you know, and my boyfriend at the time was great, but had just recently gone through a divorce when we got together. So it was kind of the opposite path for him. And I felt like I was pushing the relationship along. So there was all these like societal pressures and things I would see on social media. And you know, you're a product of who you're around. And if everybody else is getting married, you feel like that's what you should be doing. And why, you know, why isn't that working out for me?
That's tough.
Yeah. So there was just all these questions about like, what am I supposed to be doing? Like, you know, just I always wanted to fit in at that point. And now I'm so opposite. Like I love to be the one living a totally different life because I'm grounded in who I am. But at the time it felt like, what's wrong with me? Everybody else has this and I'm just getting farther from that, it feels like. And I'm leaning more and more into my career, yet I don't love my career. And I was feeling, even though I had all these friends and all these contacts and I was so busy, I started to feel lonelier and lonelier because I wasn't really myself anymore. I was losing myself in this whole process of like appeasing everybody else.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
Yeah. So then, basically, in a nutshell, over these next like few years, I faced this on and off. I stayed in the job. I'd go right back to thriving. I'd go right back to partying. 2 years later, crash and burn. Luckily, the second time was during COVID. So I had a natural 2 or 3 months off because my job basically shut down. I got the time to recover after COVID, went right back into it. And the second time wasn't as bad as the first period because I knew I had gotten out of it before. And I was like, this sucks. And I feel like I'm dying, but I've been through this before, right? Third time was in 2022. I was now at a new sales job, same industry, new job, promised me the world, didn't end up being what I expected. I was hating it. And at this point, I'm six, 7 years into this like automotive sales career that's like sucking my soul out of me, but I don't see any, like, I'm getting recruited for all these automotive companies because I have all these contacts. And if you're a female in the automotive industry, that's like gold. And I was just like, I don't want to do this, but I see no way out, right? Like, I literally didn't. And I think that's what was really hard for me. I felt like I was going to have to do this for the rest of my life. And that absolutely terrified me, but I didn't see any other way I could live, or that, like, there was never an option to run my own business or to start over. Like, that idea wasn't in my head. That's, I remember saying I wanted to just take time off, when, not when I was burnt out, like take a sabbatical, right? And my friends would be like, oh, you can't have 3 months gap in your resume. That's career suicide. And it's like, dude, I'm gonna do human suicide if I keep up with this path.
Yeah. So would you just all of a sudden feel yourself like, okay, I'm burnt out, I'm done. And then you just kind of go into a collapse for a few months to
Yes.
recover.
It would go from the extreme anxiety to like a collapse, not be able to.
Yeah.
And I would question the whole meaning of life. And I mean, but I wasn't finding answers. I would read every book. I would read about depression. I would read about depersonalization. And I was just like, this is how I feel, but I couldn't find a way out. And no one was really ever, what I really believe most of this was yes, it was an existential crisis, but it was also like a spiritual crisis, I think. And I knew nothing about spirituality at the time. And the only things I did know was like religion, right? Like Catholicism and Christian.
Organized religion.
I didn't believe in those like very strict doctrines. So I always like, oh God, this, like, you know, like I just didn't, it didn't connect with me. So eventually what kind of started my big shift and what starts to awaken me, the third period I was going through this. So now this is 6 years in, I'm like 30, 35 or so. And I'm at this new job and it's spring of 2022. And I'm just like, I literally can't keep doing this. I'm so burnt out. I'm so miserable. I planned a trip to Hawaii with one of my friends, and Hawaii was my dream bucket list vacation my whole entire life. I mean, since I was a little child, I remember dreaming about coming out here. So I can already feel my energy calming down talking about this.
I love that. I love that.
And I just, like, I always think I knew, like, some part of me knew that this was my place and this was gonna change my life. I didn't know it really, but there was something in my heart and soul that was telling me that, because I always dreamt of coming out here. And I was in this phase of burnout so bad that I almost canceled my Hawaii trip.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't even fathom planning a trip because I was planning all these road trips for work and I was traveling. I was just like, I can't even. So luckily, my one friend that I was traveling with did most of the planning for it. And she was like, no, Nicole, we're going on this trip. And I was like, I'm so burnt out. I don't even want to go, blah, blah, blah. And I had traveled, mind you, a lot of the world at this point. I had never been anywhere in my life that I felt like I could live here ever. I had never said that about anywhere. So I remember leading up to the trip, I was super burnt out. I was super like in one of my dark nights of the soul, didn't want to go. And I got on the plane. This was actually for my birthday, 4 years ago, May 2022. And I got on the plane and I got here. And this time it wasn't like this gradual period of rest and like I eventually got a little better. I arrived on this island and it was like a light switch went off. And I went from like my deepest, darkest depression to like lit up more than I had been ever since like I was a kid.
Like instantly.
Instantly. I mean, the minute I got here, I looked and I could turn my camera around. When I look at like my surroundings here, it brings joy to me every day. The energy of this place, the cloud, like the sky is so blue, the water is so blue. Like I'm looking out my window now and I have like I live in my dream home across from the ocean. It's like I remember my mind feeling as clear as the water. For the first time, I felt this like peace and slow down and stillness. And everyone here is very, you've been to Hawaii before? I can't remember. Yeah,
I've been a
everybody's like,
handful of times.
yeah, like the hospitality and the aloha spirit. It's so welcoming. It's so positive. It was so opposite of the way everything was so rushed in my close life.
Your nervous system, it sounds like it just had an exhale for the first time.
Yeah, it was like the start. That's exactly how it felt. It felt like I breathed out for the first time in 35 years. Instead of
Wow.
huffing and puffing, I
Right.
was finally like, ah, I get this chill. And I barely did anything. Like we did some light hikes, but I remember by day three, I knew I was going to move here. Like I knew it. There was no question in my mind. I needed to be here. So I didn't even rush the vacation. We had 7 days, right? There's so much. And I remember being like, some days I'm like, I can just lay here on the beach or in a hammock and do nothing. And I did that, which was something I never, like the only time I ever did that in my past life or, in my prior life was if I was so
Right.
hungover that I couldn't move, right? Other than that,
Right.
there was never any sitting still. Like, and I could just be for the first time ever.
Oh
And I
my
could just
gosh.
enjoy the nature. And I had these like elevated emotions of gratitude for the place, right?
Wow. Wow. And you hadn't started meditating at this point?
No. I dabbled a little bit with nighttime meditation for sleep. Let me add, on top of the not taking care of my body in this period of time, I would say about a year or two after I started taking Ambien, I also convinced myself that I was ADD and that I needed Adderall. So then I got a prescription for Adderall. So not only was I powering my body down with a pill, I was powering my body up every day. And then I got very addicted to Adderall and started taking like, I don't even know how I was getting more because it was like I was just getting the prescription, but I would take like extra because you start to build a dependence on that. And then I got to this period where I was taking so much Adderall that I was like extra on edge and extra jittery. And it was like, take a pill to wake me up, take a pill to put me to sleep, drink all weekend to not deal with the problems.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Girl, you were and you know what? It's like having grace and compassion. That's what you were doing to survive that
Right.
time.
Like I at the time I did not see any other way. And now looking back, I'm like, how was I do that? Is I was treating myself like I was a machine. Like I was a robot that you turn the switch on in the morning
Right.
and you turn it off.
Oh.
I did not listen to the signs of my body, which is why I burnt out. I was never very in tune with my physical body. Like
Well,
I
and it's like, why didn't you listen to the signs? No one taught you, hey, Nicole, your nervous system's dysregulated.
Right.
Hey, let's slow down. Let's be, we're not taught how to manage our emotions.
Right.
So of course you were doing what you needed to do to help you live the day to day.
Yeah.
And so it's like now that you're where you're at, you're like, what?
Oh, it's insane to me. It is so insane.
Right.
That's how I was living my life. But even to be honest with you, I only got off Adderall like a year ago and sleeping pills like a little over a year ago. Like
Okay, yeah, so walk us through. So, by the way, thank you so much for sharing all this. I feel like this is going to help so many people. So, you get to Hawaii, the exhale, the nervous system relaxation you've never felt in your entire life, even though you were still on
Yeah.
Adderall and stuff. So, what did you do when you left there? Was it so hard for you to leave there, and how did you get to be where you are, like right now, living there?
It was so hard for me to leave here. If I was not with my friend who's very like, she's the HR director, right? Like so opposite of me. I'm like a salesperson that's always breaking the rules. I literally told her, I was like, Shay, I don't want to go back. I just want to stay here. Like, and this was the first week, mind you, that I took a vacation that I actually didn't work on because I just was so at peace here and I was so over that job. And with the time change, it made it really challenging. And I was just like, screw it. I just don't care. And I just let it go for that week. And I was like, there's so much more that I'm missing in life. Like I wasn't stopping in Florida. I had beautiful sunsets, right? But there was not a day I ever stopped and watched the sunset until I moved to Hawaii, really. And now I appreciate the simplest things. So I go about that week and I just remember feeling overjoyed so much to the point where, mind you, at this point, I'm like very single over these next this period of my life, right? I'm dating. Forgot to mention this. I'm rapid fire dating on Bumble. I'm constantly trying. I'm thinking the only thing wrong with my life is that I don't have a significant other. And I'm meeting tons of people all over the world. I'm filling my spare time now that all my friends are married. I'm filling it with dating as I start to slow down on the partying. So there was just always this constant chatter of other people in my mind.
Putting pressure on yourself that you got to find the one that you
Yep.
got
Yeah, now
to.
I'm in my mid-30s, so it's like, oh, when am I gonna have kids? Even more pressure. Why am I the only one? There's still this running story that the world tells you that's dictating a lot of my thoughts and actions that I don't even realize aren't mine, because we're so programmed.
Right. Absolutely.
So I came out here, and this was the funny thing. I wasn't using the dating apps, and I was not so alive and felt so free that I was magnetizing men. Like, great men were coming up to me on the beach, I remember, like asking me on dates, and I was like, I don't live here. And it was so funny how this energetic shift already started to draw even friends. I was making so many friends. It felt so natural and like fluid and easy for me in that 1 week. Like, I really felt alive again. So I told my friend, I'm like, I'm moving here. And I knew it. And people could, my friends all saw the way I was posting on my Instagram. They were saying, like, they could see it was different than anywhere I'd ever, the way I spoke about the place, the way I felt. I even look back on those posts and I can see that I was using words that I don't normally use. There were things channeling through me through writing, because like I think I started to tap into my awakening, if you will, and my connection to source and something else, because I wasn't talking like myself. I was so poetic, and I'm like, where does it, that's not how I used to speak 4 years ago. Where did that come from, you know?
Wow.
So I knew, I think all my friends knew. Everyone didn't want me to leave, because even though I had been unhappy on and off the last few years, I had a great community there. I don't think anyone expected me to just uproot my entire life, quit this career, and move halfway across the world, right? But I
Right.
knew in my heart and soul, like when I left here, I set a deadline of 6 months to be moving out here for myself. I said it didn't matter if I had a job, it didn't matter where, like I was going to do whatever it took. I just knew it was like this soul calling that was so undeniably strong, I couldn't ignore it.
Wow. And you hadn't really felt a soul calling before that, or any kind of like connection to a higher power or
No.
anything?
To this day, I can honestly say there's never been one thing that's been as strong as I knew I had to. It was just this inner knowing. I mean, I've had plenty of inner knowings, but the strength of this call, and I didn't even know what a soul calling was at the time. All I knew was I had to be there. It was like there wasn't any other option. It didn't matter what I had to do, I had to be here. And it was unexplainable. Like, it made no logical sense to anybody. Like, oh, you're just gonna drop everything you've been doing for the last 10 years and just go. And I was like, there's no other option.
That's what I was going to ask you. So you made the decision, you set the deadline. Were a lot of doubters? Were there a lot of people that tried to talk you out of it? Did you doubt yourself?
I never once doubted myself.
That's
I knew I was
amazing.
coming here. I knew it would happen. I even thought 6 months was too long. My friend, I probably, if I was here on this trip by myself, which I did a lot of solo travel, I probably would not have gotten on the plane back. And my friend was like, Nicole, you have a job, you have an apartment, you have friends, you have family, like you have to deal with your affairs. And I was like, fine, you're right.
You're like, yeah, that's funny.
To this day, we joke that she's always like, I didn't know if I was going to get you on that plane or not the last day, because I was just, it's hard to leave when you finally feel free from, you know, this, I don't know, it was just a different feeling. So I come back and I had a job where I worked fully remote and then went to my clients. So I was obsessively looking at apartments and applying for jobs out here. I could not think about anything else. I was longing to be back here from like the second I got home. That was all I could talk about. And I told everybody, I'm moving there. And I had lived in one place for 18 years, and I lived in Tampa for 17 years. So this wasn't like I'm someone that moves around a lot. This was a big deal for me to just, you know, pick up and move all the way to an island in the middle of nowhere by myself. But there was just no question. Like there, for me, there was, there really, people always are like, well, it was so brave. I'm like, no, I felt so stuck, and I'd been dabbling with the idea of moving, but nowhere spoke to me, right? I wanted to be somewhere warm. I wanted to be somewhere with mountains. I wanted to feel comfortable, safe. And this had all of these things and more. It had everything I wanted, and it didn't have all the things that I don't like. I'm not a sports watcher, so I didn't care about that. Like, no one really cares about sports in Hawaii, you know? So I came back from that, week. I applied for every single sales job. I had a bunch of interviews, and within a month, I had secured a really great position and accepted it. And 3 months later, I was out here.
3 months. So it only took you 3 months.
So I moved on Halloween Day of 2022, and my trip that I'd come back from was beginning of June. So June, July, August. Yeah, well, I maybe, yeah,
Wow.
3, 4 months. Yeah.
And you just came on your own.
Yeah, so I had a sales job lined up. That was the only thing. And of course, everyone I talked to was like, "Oh, you came here for the job." I'm like, "No, I came here because Hawaii is the best place ever." Like, this was a cool opportunity, and it was one of the only sales jobs that like kind of paid me enough. It still wasn't quite as much as I was making. And as you know, and most people know, Hawaii's very expensive. So, it's a little risky to be taking a pay cut coming to Hawaii, but I didn't care. I knew that I was going to make do. However, I had to.
I love this.
So I moved out here and it was tough. I took a brand new sales job in a new field with a new company. So there was the 3 months in between accepting that job and moving out here was I was going into finance and I was going to be selling 401ks, which means I don't know how familiar you are with like the finance world, but you have to take these really difficult. They're called FINRA exams, and they're like US securities exams that financial advisors have to take. Very, very difficult. So I had 3 months to pass these three really challenging exams, and I had to do that in order to do the job I was going to do out here.
Okay.
Like, you can't start selling. And so it gave me this little window because I could take those exams anywhere. It gave me the window, to study and pack up my life while I already had all this planned out and stuff. But this was a big move, right? Like, I had to ship my, I had just bought a new car 6 months before that. I was shipping my car out. It was a whole thing on how to get stuff to the
I
island.
bet, yes.
And mind you, I hadn't moved like as a child. My parents moved me from New York to Florida. And since then, I had lived on the same block for like 12 years. I moved across the street once before that. Like, this was a whole ordeal
It's
of getting
different
there.
when you're moving to an island than
Yeah.
just across the state
Right.
somewhere.
You can't drive anything. So
Wow.
it was tough, but it was like everything in my heart and soul knew that I was meant to be out here and there was a reason for it. So there was never any question. Like, there were stressful moments, but it was this overwhelming excitement of this fresh start that I was going to have in a place where I didn't know anybody. And I loved that because I was always, as you were saying earlier about what Claude said about my description of social nucleus of Oahu. In Tampa, they knew me as the mayor of South Tampa. I was always this like busy bee, and I knew everybody. And I started to not like that because toward the end of my Tampa stint, I felt like everybody had this persona of who I was, and that was trapping me into fulfilling that role that people
Right,
saw.
'cause did you feel like you had to be so on and alive for
Yes,
everyone and you could
exactly.
never like have downtimes or
I
act
could
like you
never
were
have downtime. I could never say no to parties. People expected me to be. I didn't really want, I was really tapering off with like drinking toward like 30 to 35, but everybody else, like, I had two schools of friends. I had the married with kids and weren't like going out at all anymore. And I had the we're past our prime, but we're still binge drinking every weekend friends. And I was kind of in this phase of like, all right, I'm in my 30s. I'm single. I just want to be social. I don't need to drink. I could go out and like play a soccer tournament and just have fun. But there was like nobody. I started to feel so alone, but nobody really was understanding me. And I couldn't find friends that like were meeting me where I was at.
Yeah, it makes sense why you were like, I'm just drained. I'm done
I'm done.
performing.
Yeah.
I'm done saying it was like you couldn't say no to them. You had to leave and go on an island to do it almost.
Yes, I had to go. I really feel like I had to go as far as I did in order to become a new person. And I didn't like now I know a lot about this stuff. I'm really into Joe Dispenza and I know a lot about quantum physics and energy work and spirit, but at the time I didn't know any of that. I just knew that I was
Yeah.
over this life I was living. And again, I just felt stuck because of a way, even if I'd go to a party and I didn't want to drink because I can fully be social without alcohol, other people would peer pressure me into it so much so to the point where I would like bring a cup like this and pretend there was alcohol in it, even if there was water. Otherwise, people would be upset with me that I wasn't being
You didn't
the
want to
party girl.
disappoint them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you, oh, friend. There's
It was.
love on that version of you.
I know. I look back sometimes like, how did I do it? But also, everything that she was got me to here.
Of course, that's what I'm saying. Love on her, and it's like, wow, thank goodness you found that you didn't. That's not how you have to live your life.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, I could have kept talking to Nicole for another few hours, which is exactly why this became a two-parter. If you're anything like me, you're already thinking about the moment in your own life where everything just cracked open for you. In the next episode, we're getting into more, and you're not going to want to miss it. So if this episode resonated with you, go ahead and share it with someone else, and I hope that you'll meet me in part two.